Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. I'm here alongside
Ryan,
Mark,
and Alex.
Before we go ahead, there was a game today, and we'll get to the actual the game itself, but Ryan wants to give us an update. Please go
Yeah,
ahead,
so Hull City just released a statement only about like 10 minutes ago on their website. For those of you that watched the Chelsea Hull game today, after 13 minutes, there was a clash of heads between Gary Cahill and Ryan Mason. Both stayed on the ground, obviously got treatment. Cahill was up after about 2 minutes, but Mason stayed down for about eight. Came off with a neck brace and oxygen, and it sounds like he had emergency neurosurgery tonight. But the club confirmed that he is stable, but is obviously going to remain in hospital until that all gets sorted.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was a shocking one. It was, yeah, because he didn't see it coming. He heads the ball away, and,
yeah. You
know, genuine attempt from Cahill, really, but...
I mean,
yeah, it's just one
props
of them.
To the staff and, you know, the medical staff that are on field now.
Yeah,
it's
both,
just so...
Both Hull and Chelsea medical staff were tending to him. As soon as Cahill was back on his feet, they just went straight over to Mason.
Yeah.
So that was nice to see, and it's kind of the way it is now. That's
right.
Kind of the norm in Premier League. So
a lot of it came out of, you remember the people who were just dropping dead from sudden heart failure on the field? And I guess at that point it was like,
A lot
of the clubs kind of upped their game with regards to medical treatment. They just do not mess around anymore.
No, yeah, absolutely.
And you saw the referee, as soon as he saw him, was just waving over the eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, thoughts, I guess, from everyone here.
Yeah, speedy recovery to him. Top professional, and you only have to see the comments, like, on social media for him to get well. Like, it's an array of different people that kind of know him. So,
Seems
like a top geezer, and we wish him all the best.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so let's get right on to it. This weekend was full of quite shocking results. I thought this earlier on. If you were to put down money, right, especially back home when you can go to the bookies, the better, you know, put money down on the games, like, you must have been drunk to have some of these scores. Like, because you must have looked at them and gone, okay, the first one is a prime example. We said last week when Swansea going to Anfield to play Liverpool, and they beat them.
Yeah,
what is this to do with the new manager? What's going on there?
That would have been a good one to put a cheeky fiver on right there.
Yeah, but is anybody in this room actually going to say that they would actually get the correct result? Most of us would be like, smash.
No chance. No.
Yeah, but the factor of the matter is that after 20 minutes, so the first half was actually pretty boring. There wasn't much going on. Swansea didn't. I think they only created one chance. They acquired Tom Carroll. In the window.
Spurs man.
Yeah, and he looks like a really good boy. He played brilliant. And considering he'd played, I think they said he'd played 1 minute of Premier League football this year.
Wow.
And he played for the 90 minutes, and he absolutely ran the midfield.
Yeah.
I thought he was brilliant.
Great buy, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they actually had another start for Olsen that they got from Norwich. And those two actually combined for the second Llorente goal that we'll get to. But after the first 20 minutes, Liverpool have this, like, way of just, especially at Anfield. So they haven't lost at Anfield for over a year. It's like 25 games, like, at home. Yeah, they hadn't been beaten. Just a little bit lackluster, not playing with that high intensity. And one of the fun stats that I did see is that, you know, Liverpool are yet to, you know, be defeated by one of their title challengers, if you like. But already this year, lost to Swansea now, lost to Burnley, lost to Bournemouth,
right? Yeah.
Drew against Sunderland 2-2. Like, they drop points against, it's almost like that, the mentality is against those teams, oh, we just turn up, we're going to win.
Right.
And you've got to understand, the rest of these teams that they're saying that to are fighting for their lives, fighting for
Swansea have
Premier
nothing
League
to lose.
Survival, yeah.
They already know in their head they're probably going to
Yeah, if they
beat.
Can, you know, Swansea go there with a game plan to nick a point.
Right.
Nick a point. But let's get, so, you know, first half was pretty standard.
Yeah.
Lallana had a couple of decent chances. The best player on the park in the first half, it was a toss-up between Tom Carroll or Firmino, because Firmino was brilliant all game, and his two goals were...
His second goal.
The second one was
but you know,
sick.
Oh,
it?
My
but
God. Off the chest.
Here's the surprising part about that. So when Firmino scores the second goal, the surprising part for me was I'm thinking, okay, Swansea don't have a hope anymore.
The inevitable happens. Yeah. Right. Liverpool wins.
Right, but Sigurdsson's goal was actually, if you watch it, really lucky.
And against the play.
Right. Right. He's not even going for the ball. He just notices the ball drifts across him. He's, and then he slides down and knocks it past the keeper. Like, that was a lucky goal. But, like as soon as they scored, I thought, okay, just hold on for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah. But, Liverpool were their own worst enemies.
Right.
I mean, Dejan Lovren.
Yeah.
He either turns up and has an absolute, you think, this he could be one of the top defenders in Europe. And then he's trying to do, head it back to Mignolet, gets it all wrong. It goes out almost near the corner flag, and that's where they get the corner from. And then it's really shoddy defending. He doesn't attack the ball, and Llorente just pokes it home. And then 4 minutes later, that cross was absolute striker's dream. I think it was Tom Carroll. Tom Carroll plays the pass out to Olsen. Instead of just admiring his pass, runs all the way around the outside of him.
Gets the overlap, yeah.
From Olsen, and on the half volley left footer, absolute peach of a cross. And Llorente with a bullet header. So it was kind of like an old school Premier League goal in many respects. But
there's a lot of goals in this weekend, off set plays.
Yeah.
And corners and what have you, a lot of goals.
Yeah. And then obviously Firmino gets him back in it with a good header. Question marks over whether or not he pushed Olsen. I don't think so. I think Olsen's got to be a little bit stronger there and a good header. And then, like we were just talking about, Alex,
the second one. Wow.
Just sick.
Off the chest, and then the half volley, everything. Right in the side netting. I mean, he couldn't have done it better.
Everything was perfect about it. Everything. And, he's had a bit. I gave him a bit of a rough time of it a couple of months ago because I thought he was one of the ones that kind of gone off the boil a little bit. But like I said yesterday, even in that first half, which was pretty boring, he was the main threat. Him and Lallana were the main threat for Liverpool.
The strange thing for Firmino is he seemed to have started playing better since he's had the DUI, which is like the opposite of what you would think. Like the pressure's on you, the press is on you.
Yeah.
I mean, he scored in the first goal, the first game back after that, and then he's been playing pretty well since then.
Yeah.
So he never really plays in the same position all the time, and he seems to be one of Klopp's favorite players. So
he seems to do his best work when Sturridge isn't on the field. So when he's kind of that makeshift number nine, I think he prefers playing more intricate passes with the likes of Lallana and Coutinho than he does with kind of Sturridge, who is he's more modernized than an out and out striker, but that's primarily what he is, and he's a little bit more greedy than the other two that usually gets.
So my question to everyone, Liverpool are now dropped into third. Are they still title contenders?
We said months ago they weren't title contenders because of their defense, and we're seeing that play out now. I just don't have confidence.
Not to mention their goalkeeping.
Yeah. Right. It's between a bad goalkeeper and a really bad goalkeeper.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, Mignolet, when you watch him, I mean, doesn't stand a chance. With any of them, poor defending on the first one. The guy's going to tap it in from a yard. Yeah. The header is such a great cross. Keeper can't come for it. Keeper can only stand in the middle of his goal. And if the guy puts an absolute bullet on it like he did, you ain't going to save it. And the third one is two central defenders. They stand there. It was Llorente who received the ball from Carroll and then gives it back to Carroll, who then feeds it to Sigurdsson. Yeah, but there's like. Llorente's got his back to goal, and he's got 6 yards of space. Like, his central defender, Lovren, and whatever his name, the other guy. Can't remember what his name, Clavin?
No. Clavin, yeah.
Clavin. Like, they're stood so far away from him. Like, be up his back. Do you know what I mean? You've got to be touch close. You've got to be there. And they just weren't. And they were, like I said, they're their own worst enemies, really. Yeah. Great finish from Sigurdsson. And
do you think they're missing Mane at the African Cup of Nations? His energy and pace.
Yeah, but that don't do anything for the defending. Yeah, I mean, Mane's not a defender. Prove that when he handled the ball the other week when he tried to... You know what I mean? Like, on the end of the ball. But he's not a defender. So, to me, it's... Klopp is just going to try and find maybe a few excuses if all that kind of stuff comes out. But,
They're going to outscore teams. They're not going to win from the back forward.
Yeah. Right.
They're so not like Chelsea. It's like,
absolutely.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning in to Blumps on the Bench here on 94.7. Get in contact with us. And yes, Sean Chandler, if you're listening, our little Swansea fan, we'd like to hear from you. 434-284-9470. Bearing in mind, there isn't anyone in here in engineers, so hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be able to answer your call. So, yeah, give us a ring. Also, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Please do give us questions, comments. How's your team doing? Do you see yourselves in a title contender? Let us know. All right, so next game, because you can hear the paper fold. Bournemouth versus Watford. You know what I'm like, Ryan. I'm a secret Watford fan. And obviously
loves Troy Deeney.
Yeah. What, I mean, it was a draw, but, like, yeah. Did you get to see this game, Ryan?
I did get to see it. I thought Jack Wilshere played well again.
Adam Smith
played really well in the red. Yeah,
give an assist to Joshua King. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
The second goal for them came from a great finish from across and just knocked it across the side.
Just a tap in, yeah.
Yeah, great. Cool. But both goals came from corners on Watford's end. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of goals.
Well, the first game, first goal, if my memory serves me right, first goal for Watford, Bournemouth, what was it, like three missed passes in a row? Like, they gave the ball away, like, three times on the edge of the box?
It was just horrible. You can't do that at any level.
God. It was like, yeah, I bet Eddie Howe was having an absolute fit. But Benneke Fobey rescues a day with about 10 minutes to go. But it's, you know, 2-2, that kind of game. It's pretty entertaining, to be fair. I think
box to box.
Yeah, I think both managers will be relatively happy with a point, really.
Yeah.
And you were talking about set plays earlier and all the goals. I mean, isn't that what you would kind of think of as more traditional English football?
Right. Where it's training on the pitch for.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, I think the thing that shocks us now with all the, like, influx of, like, top, top quality players and you see all these intricate goals, like, around the edge of the box, like, you know, you don't really see really great, well-worked set pieces anymore, really. But, like, because the ones that we've talked about this year, like that Palace-Swansea game that was, like, what, 5-4, and it was, like, six of the goals were, like, set pieces.
Those are horrible,
set-piece goals to see. Like, but like we said, the cross Llorente, we'll get to the Spurs one, the Dele Alli goal, where,
yeah.
I mean, that cross from Walker is just insane.
Yeah. So the next game, Sellers Park, Everton versus Crystal Palace. Okay, Crystal Palace are now in a lot of trouble. They're in the relegation zone now. They're in a relegation battle. Everton, one word to describe this whole game, unlucky. They were just bouncing balls off the woodwork. Benteke or whatever you call him?
Yeah, Benteke.
Yeah, hits the ball in. And Ross Barkley knocks, it was obviously offside, but it's a clear goal-scoring opportunity right in front of him.
Yeah.
Unlucky. But yeah, the goal came eventually off a bad clearance. I'm not actually sure who scored. Was it
Seamus Coleman? Yeah.
Coleman, yeah.
Great. Which finish.
And who had the assist? Box. And who had the assist? The young'un.
Yeah, Tim Davies, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tim Davies. Yeah.
No, exactly. And this is the guy that also had the great goal last game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's getting his first minutes in the league. And he looks like the real deal. That's why you hear from Everton, they're talking about potentially selling Deulofeu and a few other players that are kind of on the fringe. It's because these young guys are really picking up for Everton.
Right.
They're kind of a sneaky team right now. You don't really think of them, but they're as dangerous as anybody on their day.
Yeah. Right.
And particularly at home, this one was away.
Yeah.
But yeah, wow. Deulofeu hasn't been playing much this season. He had a pretty good outing last year. But
yeah, every time United go to play at Goodison, I sweat. Because I know it's going to be a hard game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean,
Goodison's been a fortress for them.
Yeah. But, I mean, talk a little bit about Palace. I mean, that was at home. They started, Loic Remy got his first start. They had, Benteke up front as well. And they kind of played a front three with Ponchan, Benteke, and Loic Remy. And I'm sorry, but those Ponchan should get his paycheck. Benteke and Loic Remy. I mean, Loic Remy hasn't played for about 2 months.
You know, he's been injured, yeah.
But you'd be itching, wouldn't you, your first game back? Did nothing. He was so poor.
Let's be fair, though. Your first game back from injury for any reason, it takes you time to adjust to
it
the pace.
It does, but show me some willingness to at least run and close a ball down.
That was what disappointed me, was that the effort wasn't there.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one thing to, like, have a bad touch or something like that, but it's another not to chase down balls. Things like that.
You're starting to see that filter through that team, that Crystal Palace team, that they're on this slippery slope now. And if you're having your main guy, like, you know, let's be honest, Benteke, Loic Remy, those are big names to be at Crystal Palace. And if those boys don't seem that, it's like, well, there's no point us busting a gut at the back here. And you know, Hennessy played really well, pulled off some great saves to keep him in it. First half, it was basically Hennessy nil, Everton one, Everton nil, like kept him in the game. But Benteke, like, application to your job, and Remy, these are the two biggest probably paid players at that club.
And Remy came in for Townsend.
Yeah.
Who I'm not saying he's one of the better, he's one of the better players on their team, and has a lot of pace, and he can run directly at players. I mean, there must have been something in training that said, okay, Remy's the right play against Everton for whatever reason, yeah. But in the game, he sure didn't show it.
No.
All right, well, talking about another team that's kind of similar to Everton, and they're making their way back up into sort of the Premier League big names, West Ham against Middlesbrough.
The best thing that happened to them is Payet saying he's done. They're playing their best football now without their best player. That's amazing.
And Carroll, he's on fire right now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
that goal last week has given him confidence.
Absolutely. And that first goal, that's just trademark Andy Carroll. He comes from about 10 yards behind the play as well to get his head on that.
And like a freight train.
Absolute, but no one was getting in his way.
Oh, no. That would have been a concussion waiting to happen.
Yeah, absolute beast. And you know what? That's what he can do. Like, now he seems like he's a little bit fitter.
He's been healthy for a more consistent amount of time, so it's not like he's just kind of getting back into form.
So I think he could probably do the business. Stuani, I mean, Middlesbrough scored a
that goal.
Decent goal.
Incredible.
But then he
goal.
Missed an absolute sitter. I mean, Middlesbrough will be disappointed.
How did they not score that? There was a second goal which went off the crossbar. West Ham were up 2-1, and there was one that came right through the box, the 6-yard box, and it just went straight up. It was unbelievable. How do you miss that? How do you miss that?
Yeah, it's bad. It was bad. But, and that would have been huge as well to get that back to 2-2, give yourself a fighting chance. But, Borough, I mean, West Ham are coming off a bit of confidence. So, Borough will be not very happy with that one.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. The time is now 20 past 6. All right, guys, we're back. All right, so the next game takes us right into the Bet365 stadium, even. Stoke versus Man United. This was a slog for Man United, and I was kind of disappointed, but Stoke, it was unlucky. Matt obviously gave the goal away.
He had a bit of a mare, didn't
he?
Yesterday. It was probably his worst game.
Did you notice also, like, he did a few mess-ups?
That's what I'm saying.
Because he's trying to kind of compensate for that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just
and to be fair, it's not
him.
It goes down as a matter-own goal, but it's not really a matter-own goal, is it?
When it comes off the hair.
When you try and block across,
and it just happens to
hits you, hits the goalkeeper and goes in. It's not an own goal, but he had an absolute gilt edge miss from about 5 yards out when Zlatan rolls it across. Actually, really good. Is it Marcus Indy defending? Did enough. Actually gets like a little touch on it, but he should still be burying that. And then he tried a bicycle kick, didn't he, that he completely fluffed his lines off. it was. And then they ended up bringing him off and putting Wazza on.
Actually turned out to be a good decision in the end.
You know what? I mean, you only have to look at the stats, yeah? It was, I think we had like 65% of the possession. 65-35 in the first half, 65-35.
And 25 shots. You guys were just hammering the goal.
Yeah. Lingard at the bar. It was looked like it was going to end up going to be one of those days. And then, obviously, Rooney in the 94th minute. That's why I wasn't that disappointed. When you leave it to the last kick of the game, one little bit of quality, cool head.
That was fantastic goal.
Yeah, it was a good finish, wasn't it?
You couldn't have hit that any better.
No, I mean, it's the only place, it's the only way you could have hit it to even put it in that spot.
Exactly.
So, fabulous achievement for Wayne. 250 goals, surpassing Sir Bobby for the all-time record. He must be getting a bit annoyed with that, Bobby Charlton. He's done it for England.
And he's watching it as well.
Game of Man United.
Well,
he's there every game. Yeah.
It's done now. And so do you see Rooney getting more into the side and playing more?
No.
I mean, no? I mean, earlier, a few weeks ago, you said you thought this is his last season.
I do think that. I still think that's true.
Yeah. I mean, that he's still got some minutes left in him. He's got a few more seasons.
But the thing is, if you're going to like kind of go into it a little bit, he comes on for 20 minutes to impact the game.
Is that his role?
Because of the result and his goal, yeah. Did he impact the game? Absolutely. But for the 20 minutes he's on the pitch, again, nothing for 19 of them. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, you bring him on to,
but,
like...
But does that matter? Does that matter? If you can have one moment like that in a game, per game, obviously, there's no guarantee you're going to score a goal a game, but...
Yeah.
I mean, if you can... If that's the kind of talent that you have, that it takes that one strike...
Yeah.
I mean, we see players like that do that all the time. They disappear for long stretches, and then, you know what? They score the goal, and that's who you're talking about on Monday, you know?
Right. But, I mean, we'll see. Any time will tell. Like, if he gets a little run in the side and he can grab a couple more Premier League goals. I mean, I think it's something ridiculous. Like, that's only his third goal of the season or fourth goal.
No, he hasn't been playing very well.
Yeah.
See, the difference between him and Ibrahimovic is that Ibra, like, that he's the type of player that you're talking about, Alex, where, like, he's kind of silent for a while, but he will get you those goals. Rooney... Like, you can put him on for 10 games and he's not going to score.
Well, let me ask this. Who's older, Rooney or Ibra?
Ibra.
And that's the crazy thing, is that you would think that it's Rooney based on...
Right, but the question is Ibra, Ryan Giggs for, you know...
Well, I mean, really what it is like, Rooney seems to not really have quite what he had 5 years ago.
Right.
Ibra has every drop of what he had 5 years ago, and maybe even more. I mean, he's... an ageless wonder. He's 35, 36, something like that.
36 this year.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. Says he can play till he's 40.
I believe it.
I do believe it. He has great
class.
Might
not be at like the ultimate highest level, but he could do a job for most teams in Europe, I think, at 40.
Exactly.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench. Hopefully we're still here at 40. 434-2849-470 if you want to give us a ring, or facebook.com/blokesonthebench if you want to leave us a comment. You don't say concerns. Obviously, you don't have to leave us a concern. Well, you could if you wanted to.
Yeah. You're concerned about your team going down the absolute pit. Yeah.
So, I mean, are you guys concerned about United dropping points to Stoke on the road? That's one that if you guys are really going to go for the title, which I don't think is going to happen.
We're dream world for that. Top four is
top four is what you're.
But again, those are results. Like that Stoke result. Let's be honest. Like again, it's the last minute of the game. It takes an unbelievable piece of skill to get us in. And you know what? We went to Stoke. We played well. Peppered 25 shots. If we wouldn't have scored, I'd be worried. But the fact is, 1-1. We nicked a point. Should we have won the game? Probably, yeah. But at the end of the day, with 45 seconds to go and you're 1-0 down, you'll take a point and you'll get on the bus and you'll be like, all right, lads, on to the next one.
And based on the other results in the league with City and Tottenham tying, you know, it really wasn't that bad of a result given kind of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool dropped points as well.
Liverpool,
so, you know,
exactly.
I mean, so it's all kind of bunching up. Nobody really pulled away from us except, like, Chelsea and Arsenal. But those are two teams that you kind of think are going to be 1, 2, or 3. So it's, you know, it's kind of a who's going to be number four, and I think that's what we'll wait on.
Exactly.
I saw that, I think it was maybe the Mirror reported that if United don't finish top four, their players are going to face a 25% pay cut.
25% pay cut. Can you do that? Is that actually in their contracts?
You know why that will never happen? Because at the start of this week, it was released that we are the richest club in the world from 2015-2016 earnings. And we outdid Barcelona by something ridiculous, like $110 million. So, I mean, that's... I understand the idea and maybe the ploy to get them to obviously perform. Mm. But yeah, no, I don't think that can ever.
Yeah, how can you? It's like saying Apple saying, "Hey, CEO, we need you to take a pay cut." Because
you could probably do it on renewed contracts.
Yeah.
But if you've got a contract out there and it's signed, you're asking for trouble if you start saying, you know, "Oh, Martial, I know you got 2 years left, but you're not getting paid 180 anymore."
Right, off he goes.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next game at the Hawthorns. West Brom versus Sunderland. Fletcher's goal. I think was, maybe it's not as refined as, say, Firmino's, but it was up there.
It was a good finish, wasn't it? From old Dazza Fletcher.
You guys love him, of course. Do you wish he still played for...
No, I'm glad he moved on. He was a good servant for us, and he actually had some really massive games when we went on to win the Champions League. He actually played some really, really decent games. But yeah, he was a good servant for United, and obviously got his illness, didn't he? Put him out for like 2.5 years.
He was one of Ferguson's favorite players, because I think they're both Scottish, right?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
One thing I will say about Sunderland, dreadful defending, as per usual.
Oh my God, that's
and
a shocker.
Not only that, I didn't even see the Brunt goal. Complete comical. Rondon lands it in, then off Chadley, then off Rondon.
Yeah, okay, well, Chadley should have scored. He rattles a post, but I'm telling you, if you want to see a left peg absolute rocket shot.
Right.
Oh my God, nearly took the net apart, didn't it? What a hit that was.
Yeah.
But you know, the funniest thing in that game was Rondon's header that's like going in, and then Matty Phillips tries to like.
Tried to nick it, and it goes wide.
Yeah. But yeah, Sunderland didn't do enough again. They had a couple of half chances, but the comical thing about Sunderland is they had twice this happened in the game where they've had a free kick from like 25 yards out, and like I think it was Van Aanholt hit the first one and it smashes into the wall, and then they go at the other end and nearly score like West Brom, and that happened twice. It's just kind of comical from Sunderland. And Moyes is saying, like, you know, leaking goals and stuff, it's kind of a disease around the club at the moment. He doesn't really know how to get out of it, but
I mean, after a display like that, you have to pretty much guarantee that Sunderland are going to go down.
He can't keep saying the same thing. Same thing. He goes, first half we were dreadful, but second half we weren't too bad. Well, that's not good enough, is it?
You're just not too bad for half the game. I mean, and not too bad isn't necessarily a ringing endorsement.
No, yeah.
you didn't score. Yeah,
because the thing is, if you split it into two halves, then they lost the first half 2-0. They drew 0-0. In the second half, West Brom aren't going to score 5 goals. The job's done at half time.
Yeah,
just be
cruise
professional
control.
And thing. Yeah, so that's why your team looked half decent in the second half.
Yeah,
they were just like professionally managing the ball and running channels. I mean, that's what I mean, Moisey. What are you doing, mate?
All right, moving on to the next game. We were actually there, Facebook living from Cardinal Hall. Thanks, guys, for letting us be there. And before, I'm just going to pass it over to Alex because he obviously.
So the final score 2-2, but wow! I mean,
stop laughing, Ryan.
when City was up 2, I never would have guessed that Tottenham would have come back as quickly and played as well. The final, it was about 35 minutes or so. It was an impressive comeback. It was really. I was sad though. It was. If you watch the first half, City was just. It was amazing they didn't score. I don't know how they didn't. Aguero had a chance. Zabaleta had a chance.
Right.
I mean, they were.
Lloris played a great first half.
Oh, right. It was
but the second half.
This is
was
a tale.
Just
of,
yeah.
This is a tale of two keepers. I think Bravo versus Hugo Lloris.
And you would think who's the one that's more likely to make the terrible mistake? You would never think it's Lloris. We were on Facebook Live, and I'm saying that Lloris is one of the best 5 goalkeepers in the world. And
you're
then
saying he was the best goalkeeper in the world.
Well, that too, yeah. and then he makes 2 horrible, horrible plays. Both of those goals can be directly attributable to him. He gets the first one, he gets ahead on it, but it goes right into the path of Sané. And yes, it hit his hand. Maybe that's a penalty.
What can he do?
You know,
he hasn't gone like his hands
exactly.
Said, has he? He's kind of gone like that.
He did gain an advantage on it, so I don't even know what the right call is here. Whether that should be
they
a dead
the
ball?
Right thing. No, they did the right thing.
So you think that? Yeah, because I think if you gain an advantage from a handball, even if it's not you putting your hand to the ball, I think that's still you should be blowing the ball dead.
I think if your hand wasn't there, and it would have gone past you, you're absolutely right. But when it hits him, it's right here. So if his hand's not there, it's going to hit him somewhere.
It was, right around his neck,
so
yeah.
I think if it's going to hit the player, to me, that was...
And he seemed to hesitate. Lloris seemed to hesitate on that play.
They were so close to it. It happened in a split second. I mean, for you to even see
he probably could have even used his hand there.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to really play that one well. And then the second goal, I mean, he just fumbles it.
He gifted it to De Bruyne.
Oh, De Bruyne was the easiest goal he'll score in his life.
But to go with what you said, Alex, about, like, for me, the first hour, Tottenham weren't their usual self.
They looked horrible.
Just getting dominated. And as soon as it was 2-0 up, like you said, I was like, wow, this could actually end up being 3 or 4. But it kind of actually spurred Tottenham on. It kind of released them a little bit.
They must have gone, hang on, we're at the end yet. We're in a half-empty stadium. What are we losing this for?
Yeah, and then, you know, you've got, like I said before, toss-up between Tom Carroll's cross for Fernando Llorente or Kyle Walker's for Dele Alli.
Yeah.
At undefendable.
On a plate. That was perfect.
And it even takes a little deflection
and
off.
Ali's head, his head game is up there. That's probably the best part of his game that he's improved since last year.
Absolutely.
Last year is more about it with his feet. He's become a more total, complete player this season, and the goals are coming in just one after another.
Unfortunately, that hothead's still the same. That hasn't changed.
I think you
much.
Need it. I think I love that about him. Love that about him.
You got so many players now in Tottenham in the front or on all cylinders. You got Kane, Dele Alli, then you have Rose and Walker on the sides.
Yeah. And Son played pretty well when he came in. He had the second
goal. I was going to say, Eriksen before, as well,
you,
all right.
before you get to that was where kind of the controversy comes where
he pushes
Kyle Walker
the nudge.
Sterling knocks him off balance. It was just one of those like split second reactions where I'm just going to try and get my foot on it and just pokes it goalwards towards Lloris and still doesn't go down even after that.
I mean, good on him for not making a meal out of that.
Good on him for not going down, and as much as I love the result and everything works, like, you know, being a United fan of that, but it don't you see it's a little bit we want to moan about these guys going down too easily, but I'm telling you, if he goes down there, that's a penalty and that's a red card. Is he wrong for doing it? Absolutely not, I don't think. If you get pushed in the back, because it just proves now that, you know, if the referee's had a little bit more about him, that, yeah, you know what, fair play, Raheem, for staying on your feet, but, Cole, you're off, and that's a penalty. Like, it's what it should be, but it isn't. And 30 seconds later, they go to the other end, and Son scores a fantastic goal with a great flick from Harry Kane.
Who was the referee? Was it Clattenburg? Who was Clattenburg?
No, it was Michael Clattenburg. Oliver, wasn't was it? Us.
Oh yeah, there was.
I think it was Oliver, wasn't it?
No, it was. I'll get his name in a minute. We'll get to it. I can see his face.
Everybody, picture a guy with like
and he's with a face.
And
yes.
He's notorious. And the thing is, he's notorious for not really keeping up with play. Very well,
but that's not on the referee and on a play like that. That's more, I would think, it's on the linesman.
The linesman
has the better view. He's going to see the extension of the arm from Walker.
How can you miss it? And it's like I'm not sure how much conversation they have with those earpieces. Because I'm pretty sure there should have been from the ref. Was that what I thought I saw? Nah, just let it go. I mean, is that the gist of the conversation? Because right at the thing, they let it boot down, and then he's off that, and he's just running back the other way into.
And Pep was furious.
Yeah,
Pep was going right to the fourth official.
Yeah,
I mean, I was like, hey, that's what I would have been doing as well if I was in his spot.
So who had the worst day then, Lloris or Bravo?
Oh, not even close. It was Lloris.
Yeah, it was Lloris, definitely.
I mean, Bravo's goals.
In the long run, it's going to be Bravo. Let's be honest.
We were saying this on the air the other day, and Bravo may be the worst total move of any Premier League, where you get rid of Joe Hart.
Right.
Maybe not necessarily the best keeper in the world, but someone that has Premier League experience, reliable to some degree. You bring in Bravo, and it's just like,
who
is this guy?
A fan favorite, too. I mean, I think a lot of City fans were hurt when Joe Hart was sent to Torino, you know?
Like, the rule of thumb is that your world-class keepers will make 3 mistakes in a season. One of them will cost you a goal, yeah? So the beauty, what I was thinking from like a Spurs
Well, Lloris
point of view,
had 2 of those in
brilliant.
This game. Yeah.
He had 2. He had 2 in one game and gave it 2 goals. So you're good for the rest of the season.
He's been fantastic this year.
For the rest of the season. He's not going to make any more. I think De Gea's only had 1 this year, so we've still got another one around the corner. But yeah, that's kind of the rule of thumb. So I was like, you know what, if I was a Spurs fan, I'd be like, all right, we've got them out of the way, and we still nicked a point, which you'd have probably taken at the Etihad before the game, realistically.
Well, the thing is that going in, a lot of people were saying that Spurs were going to run away with it. You have all the kind of stuff that's going on with City. The team seems unsettled. Pep doesn't seem to really have his heart into it. A lot of people were saying that Tottenham were going to win big. I didn't believe that. I, being a Spurs fan as long as I have been, there is that kind of, you know better than that.
Yeah.
Spurs seem to always find a way to make it as hard as possible. And then even when they're playing at their best football ever, which was last year, they still can't win the league or even beat Arsenal in the final game because they lose to Newcastle 5-0.
I do think we're talking about these games now. Like, it's March. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's how important they are, though.
They're obviously important, but we still have under half the season left.
But especially when the top teams play each other, when you've got the title teams playing each other, they're literally 6 pointers. They can make or break the league for you. So, look, what I'm saying is, Spurs for an hour, 65 minutes, did not play well. Were not the Tottenham that we've seen this season. But to still go to Man City, be 2 goals behind, and get a point. That is title credentials.
And you have to be happy as a Spurs fan.
Absolutely.
After the game, just like you were saying with Manchester, you get the goal with 45 seconds left. It's the same idea.
Right.
Under the circumstances, you're happy. Maybe not going in, you would be happy, but with the circumstances of how the game played out and how quickly they scored their 2 goals to really come back into the game, that was really impressive. And it seems like Tottenham are one of those teams that when they get hit in the face, they get up.
Yeah.
They know how to take a punch better than any squad, I think, in the league.
All right, guys, the time is now 6:40. All right, guys, welcome back. So next game, Stamford Bridge, Chelsea versus Hull. No real surprise here. But I did think Hull did.
I was a little surprised just that Diego Costa's in the squad scoring again.
And didn't get booed.
That's a very good point. He scored. He played well. What's surprising is the saga over already, or are we still expecting him to be leaving?
I think that's a tough one.
I would say if he's starting, I would say it's probably not likely for him to leave.
So did Abramovich give him like a handshake deal? Like, hey, I'll give you, you know, a lump sum. You're not lump sum, but, you know, some amount of money?
I don't read too much into it. Like, when it comes to that, they pay him. He's probably one of their top earners, if not the top earner.
So approaching $200,000 a week.
So you know what? If you're under contract with me until the summer, and that's when we'll have a chat if you want, guess what? You're going to play. And you're going to perform for the team. That's just the way it is.
You're
a professional footballer. Because the thing is, if you put him in the team, at $200,000 a week, and let's say Chelsea completely blow up and they go a little bit back to where they were last year and all this on-field antics and
That happen.
No, that's what I'm saying. But the backlash from the fans and everything, it'll be insane. So, you're under contract. We pay your wages. I'm putting you in the team. You're going to play. You're fit. You've trained. You're going to play. And at the end of the day, it comes down to top professionals. It does come down to more than just what do I want to do? Do I want this move away? That I'm sure in the past week or so, his representatives have sat down with him and say, look, let's be honest, this isn't going to happen in January. If something comes up in the summer where we have a little bit more time and we can talk about it, maybe renegotiate, let's do it then. But right now, we're top of the Premier League. We're, 7 points clear or whatever it is. Let's get this job done. I pay you for a job. Go out and do it. Look at the teammates.
Right.
You know, these are your teammates. Let's go get the job
done. Not to mention, there's a good chance you're going to have another title under your belt.
Yeah, and that's something you tell the grandkids about, you know?
But that's the thing. The other thing as well is what I'm getting at with that
attitude. I hope Diego Costa doesn't have children.
Is if he played every week, if they made the point of playing him every week and he was that miffed about it, that he wanted to go for this big money move and kind of refused to play whilst out on the pitch... Like, who's going to want to buy that player? Who's going to want to pay for that player who does not want to play for
the team? Well, exactly, the fact that they're that temperamental. But what's surprising to me, watching a lot of American sports, is that if there's someone that's like this, you know what, you get fined. If you refuse to play, you get fined. Has he been fined at all? Do you really ever see that happen?
I mean, maybe they just keep it quiet over there, you know?
Because you hear about, like, the exact dollar figure of who's getting fined here in the U.S.
It would be all over Talk Sport. It would be all over the newspapers, the broadsheets, the back pages.
But, it hasn't been talked about. So, it's crazy. You refuse to play, and we're going to pay you $200,000 that week? And that's huge money, obviously.
Yeah. I think a lot of it as well is, like, you've got to think about it like this, too, is that... So the big money move to China story breaks out, and then he has an on training site bust up with Conte. Words are exchanged, and it's one of those comments where I think Conte's gone, "Oh, go to China then." Right. Like, do you know what I mean? Just a heat of the moment, like a little tit for tat spat. And then it's blown out of proportion.
Yeah,
and you have two personalities.
But it wasn't.
I'd love to see some footage of that.
But it wasn't it wasn't with Conte directly. I think it was with one of the positional coaches or something like that. And then Conte essentially had to side with the coach because, I mean, obviously Conte's clearly in the wrong here, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's move on to the next game. Mark, this is yours. Arsenal versus Burnley.
So I have a feeling this is going to be the most talked about game of our show today.
Of course.
And
go on.
Still trying to wrap my head around this one. I'll first like to congratulate, as a Gunner, to my fellow Gunner, Shakhtar Mustafi. He's actually unbeaten as an Arsenal player. 21 games, no defeats, and he finally gets on the score sheet. First goal in an Arsenal shirt off of a set piece. Good flicked header to the corner. Nothing the keeper or the defenders could have done about it.
We could have if they'd have put... they had one player on the post, and it was on the other post.
And that's exactly what I was going to bring
up. Put two fullbacks on the post.
Because at that point, offside is a non... Oh, my God.
Used to be a keeper. Two men on the post.
Yeah, but, I mean, how often do you see two players on each post now?
90% of the time.
Ooh, I don't know if I agree with that stat. But I think the key is that it should be there 90% of the time, if not 100% of the time, because it's... How many goals go in the corner off of corners? I mean, it's a majority of them.
As long as you're forward, when you're defending a corner, as long as you're forward as a defending team is stood on the halfway line in the center, you have enough players to put two men on the post and have every man in the box covered.
And I'm not saying you put your tallest player there. You put your
shorties there. All they got to do is jump straight in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Easy pickings, isn't it?
You put your shorties. That's a technical term, I believe.
Yeah.
Go shorty. Right. So, what about the red card?
Definitely.
So, Ryan and I were actually talking about this before we came on air, and I guess I'm a little bit partial in saying that I didn't think it was totally a red card. You know, definitely a yellow. Definitely a talking to the. The main official did ask sideline official.
Actually the second time John Moss has given him a red card this year.
Yep, it is.
He's given him straight reds twice, but both on similarly horrible tackles.
It studs up.
It's reckless. He jumped. He was off.
It's a lunge. It's reckless. It's out of frustration for giving the ball away 3 yards away and then just absolutely steamrolling him.
It was by definition a red.
Yeah, straight
like
off.
Like literally...
Get out.
Somebody
yeah,
like,
you're done.
Off.
You're
off
done.
You go.
to the showers, buddy.
What about Arsene Wenger, though? He is such a sore... Okay, they didn't lose, but, like, anything that doesn't go his way... I mean, he touched the fourth official, like...
Oh, he was like, I built this stadium. Yeah. I'm staying right here, pal.
Forget that. He talks to them like he's built the Premier League. Like, they're almost going, oh, we're sorry, sir. We're sorry. You know, this happened. If this was being Mourinho, it would have been a touchline ban... Fine.
Oh, I'm sure Wenger's going to get a touchline ban for this.
You really think so?
He's going to have some kind of circumstance.
I think he's smooching with all of them. You've been smooching with them.
All right, but let's get to those penalties though, because those were all in extra time. I mean, that was
There was one on Mustafi earlier in the second half that was a clear penalty. I think it was Gray came. Right across him in the penalty area, barrels him over. It was from the side, no penalty given. I think Wenger was, you know, pretty teed up about that. And then, yeah, there were the two penalties in stoppage time. The Burnley penalty, definitely a penalty.
Stonewall, isn't it?
Stonewall penalty. I don't know what Coughlin's thinking. Ramsey's got to be shouting at him from behind saying, you know, I've got this clearance, but... Wow. Who knows what happened?
It was so unnecessary. You know? And he went
down. Well, that's Coughlin for you. That's why some former players at Arsenal have been saying that we should get rid of Coughlin. And I kind of agree. I think he makes some bonehead plays from time to time that could have today cost
some points. You're going to say you want to get rid of Coughlin, and then you're not going to say anything about Xhaka? I mean,
well, Xhaka's first season.
If you listen to what the English fans are saying, Arsenal fans in particular, obviously, is that Xhaka. It's atrocious. It's just shameful how bad his tackles are. They're saying he's not fit for the badge.
You might be getting brainwashed by Arsene Wenger, mate. Because I want to take you back. The first four shows we did, yeah? And there was like a what, straight after Charity Shield was the first show, right? All I heard about for 4 weeks is how great Coquelin was in the centre of the park, how he's like the most kind of assured midfielder, he's a hassler of everything, yeah? All you ever went on about is how good this guy was.
And no way!
Now you want to get rid of him.
No way.
You were like, he was our best. Go back. Anybody, just I'm going to go back and
let's
do
check
it.
The tape. Check the tape.
I'm going to play the audio next week.
Charlottesville podcast.
Yeah, you were raving about how he's probably the best midfielder and you've been missing that kind of dominance for a very long time. I'm telling you. I've got it on.
All right. Yeah, we're going to have to move on to the last game. Southampton versus Leicester City.
Great Panenka from Alexis Sanchez, by the way, to score the winner.
Never
in the
offsides.
Never a penalty.
Offsides.
Has to be deliberate.
All right. We're going to have to jump in, guys. So Southampton versus Leicester City.
Leicester have fallen so far.
Price's goal was James Price.
Ward-Prowse, yeah.
Clinical finish.
He always scores good goals, though, James Ward-Prowse.
Rodriguez.
Good to see Jay on the score sheet. And then Tadic Penn, right?
Yeah. Schmeichel should have saved the Rodriguez.
I didn't see, that was one of the games I didn't see, mate.
So he comes in to the left, right, and there's the goalpost, and Schmeichel is right by the goalpost, but there's I don't know who was in front of him, but it was obviously his Leicester City player. And Rodriguez, taps it in, but taps it, instead of going like you usually think a player like that, like picture the Ryan Giggs goal, remember the FA Cup, where he kind of goes top corner, he ends up going low left, so he's going into the same corner as the keeper's going, and I'm thinking, He should have saved that. It wasn't even a rocket of a shot.
Right.
I don't know why Schmeichel is a way better keeper than that. They said he had no chance, but I watched it. I'm thinking, yeah, you do.
All right.
So that's my own opinion of that.
How about Leicester to get relegated but win the Champions League?
I don't think they're going to win.
I don't see them winning the Champions League. I know it's fun to say, and we'd all be rooting for them, of course. But right now, I mean, what? Leicester's 15th. They're, 5 points ahead of the drop zone. I don't see them going down. I don't see them going down either.
But the only thing I would say, yeah, is that they completely blew open football last year. Because at this time last year, we were saying exactly the same thing. Oh, it's really fun to say that Leicester might go on and win the league.
No one believed it.
Yeah. Exactly. And I know Champions League, but on the day, you've only got to turn up on the day. You've only got to have everything go right for you on the day. Like, because, to be fair, like when Liverpool won it in, 2005?
Yeah.
It was a good Liverpool team.
Benitez, a lot of players
they
behind
got a,
the ball
They got a
team,
favorable like. Route, and they, I remember, like, the Gerrard against Olympiacos last minute.
Do you think that this Leicester squad has the talent of the Liverpool squad back then? Of course not. If you say that, I don't believe you.
Okay, but how come that squad won the Premier League and Liverpool have never won the Premier League?
Well, first of all, okay, so when Leicester won the league last year, it was one of the lowest point totals ever for a Premier League winner.
Yeah.
And then, you know what it is that some of the bigger squads, I mean, that was, if anything, if you looked at that point total, that was the year Arsenal should have won. But Arsenal just continually dropped points. I mean, Spurs were right there, of course. But, I mean, if you look at it historically, I mean...
Well, you're right. That's one thing I was happy about this weekend. I know it was a controversial win against Burnley, but a lot of the bigger teams dropped points this weekend, and that's happened to us a lot where it's like, oh, this is our chance. We just got to get a win.
I mean, Arsenal have more goals in the last 10 minutes of the Premier League than any other squad, and they've gained more point like plus minus points in the last 10 minutes. I'd love to see the stat because it's got to be true. They've had so many at the death.
Bat, yeah,
they've had so many right at the death. Yeah. It's amazing.
Bournemouth, Burnley, Man United.
Yeah,
and
right,
these guys. Blokes just keep coming in looking disgust at me every time.
All right, guys. So we have to get to the table. So Chelsea are obviously in 55 points. Arsenal behind them in 47. Tottenham are in third in 46. Liverpool have dropped to fourth. They were in third. They're in 45. Man City are still in fifth. Manchester United in sixth on 41 points. Everton 36. In the eighth spot, we got West Bromwich in 32. Ninth, we have Stoke in 28. And West Ham sitting on 28 points in 10th. Swansea are now in 17th. They're out of relegation zone, sitting on 18 points.
Way to go, boys.
Crystal Palace are now in the relegation battle on 18. 19, Hull City. And, of course, Sunderland sitting right in the bottom on 20th.
Got to be worried about those bottom when you see those bottom three: Palace, Hull, and Sunderland.
I mean, so are we going to see any more big signings? Not big signings, but you know, the kind of Tom Carroll kind of signings that are sneaky good.
Right, but I think from what I gather, like traditionally in January, a lot of the signings come towards that last week or so. You're not going to see any, like now, pretty much is when any big signings are going to be.
There's not much.
It's usually pretty quiet for the first 2-3 weeks.
I mean, deals, you know, they take quite a good amount of time to actually negotiate.
Yeah, and the thing is, this time last year, you had another set of Premier League fixtures before the deadline. So teams in the bottom three now, they're not going to play now until, what, February? Because they don't play next weekend.
31st Tuesday. So next Tuesday.
Okay, so that's the cut. I mean, I'd actually go an extra day. If you have fixtures on the last day of the month, especially January, like you get till... So it will be Wednesday night, close of business.
Yeah.
So are you happy about the sale for the big Man United sale at Memphis?
Big? Yeah. Have you seen the videos online where it just says, I want to thank Memphis Dubai, here's his highlights, and he's just standing there sweating, and then says, thank you, Memphis. Yeah, overrated player. But I fell for it. I thought this guy, you know, coming from...
How much did you guys lose on that transaction?
$3 million, I think. We got him for 25 and they sold him for 22.
Really?
I think you lost more than that.
Yeah, I think you lost more than that, too.
Well, I think it's 20...
That's what the stats say.
It will end up being a $3 million loss.
At the moment, maybe all the add-ons didn't happen and all that, and could have been much more.
Yeah. All right, guys, so fixtures, like Ryan was
saying... Thanks, Louis Van Gaal.
...come up to the 31st of January. Bournemouth versus Crystal Palace on that Tuesday. That could be a really good game. I think Bournemouth will smash Crystal Palace.
I think Bournemouth will win that.
Arsenal versus Watford. Go, Watford!
I think Arsenal.
Come on, you Gunners.
Burnley versus Leicester City.
Burnley.
Middlesbrough versus West Brom.
West Brom.
Sunderland versus Spurs.
Spurs all the way. That's going to be a big one. Oh, that would be great to see.
Here's an interesting one, right? Swansea versus Southampton. Southampton have been pretty poor. Swansea have had a good result coming in from the
playing. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like Swansea had a big result yesterday, and Southampton had a big result today, so... That would be a good game. Probably be 2-2.
Yeah. Liverpool versus Chelsea.
I'd love to see Liverpool win. Just to make it bunch up even more.
Right. Then on Wednesday, we've got West Ham versus Man City.
And then the defense just goes back.
Is that in West Ham?
West Ham? Yeah, I've got a sneaky feeling there.
Yeah, I got West Ham
and
as well.
But I think it might be something ridiculous, like 3-0 to West Ham.
Carl getting on the score sheet twice.
Absolutely. Bullet headers, isn't it?
There you go, yeah.
Man United
I need to get him on my fantasy team.
Yeah, I know.
Use that wild card.
Hull?
United Hull.
So that's a League Cup right there.
No, this is Premier League.
Premier League. And then we play him again.
Stoke versus Everton is in
You play
last
them
one.
On Thursday.
Oh, that might be
you
League
play
Cup then.
League Cup, Liverpool, Southampton on Wednesday. Southampton are one up in aggregate.
Oh, yeah.
These are the replays.
Yeah.
This is the winners of these games will go to Wembley and play in the EFL Cup or whatever it's called now.
Mickey Mouse Cup.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you're right, yeah. So, Southampton and Liverpool. So
Southampton had a surprise one up.
Yeah.
And you would expect Liverpool to really turn it around and get to the final. And likely play United, who are up 2-up on aggregate right now.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, so then...
Well, Liverpool made it last year.
We're going to be off next weekend. So the next ones we have are Saturday the 4th.
Absolute stormer to start with, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chelsea-Arsenal.
We're going to get them again, boys. I caught it here, blokes.
Sunderland. Crystal Palace versus Sunderland.
I'm going to go Palace.
Everton versus Bournemouth.
Everton.
Hull versus Liverpool.
I'm going Hull.
I think Hull are on the rise.
Snodgrass might be back by then.
Hull are on the rise, I think.
And then we have Watford versus Burnley. Yeah, those are Premier League games, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
They're not cup games. West Brom versus Stoke. And Spurs versus Middlesbrough. That's the Saturday games. And then Sunday, we have Man City versus Swansea. So,
Sean,
there, yeah, hopefully the Swans will win. And Leicester
might have to do a Facebook Live on that one, who knows?
Yeah.
Leicester versus Man United, that'll probably be the turnaround for Leicester, and they'll end up beating us like 2-0.
All right,
brilliant.
So that's it. As I said, we're off next week, and then we're back on, I guess,
Saturday. Super Bowl Sunday. Let's go.
So, yeah, we'll try to do some live updates, obviously, during the games, or during the broadcast as well for the Super Bowl. The results today, who beat who?
The big results in La Liga, Real Madrid is back on track on Saturday.
After losing two straight.
And Barcelona absolutely smashed Eibar 4-0.
What was the result in the Super Bowl today, just so we can get that?
Oh, no Super Bowl today. The NFC Championship, the Falcons taking it rolling.
GB.
Or I guess we should say flying over the Packers.
Their
cheese curds. And I think it's the last game at the Atlanta Dome.
That's what I meant.
The like, Georgia the Dome.
Georgia Dome.
Games coming into the Super Bowl, right? So that's.
And then we got.
So they're in it, right?
Go Steelers.
All right.
Steelers and Green and the Patriots right now.
All right, guys. So as I said, we're not in next week. We'll be back February 5th. Have a great weekend, everybody, next week. And we'll see you soon.
Later.
See ya.
Have a good one.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.